Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Today is the 14th of December. I'm Brian. It's a pleasure, honor, joy to be with you today. So we've been moving rapidly through the Minor Prophets, and I've been saying that for a couple days, but it's like a new book every day, and today's no different. We'll read from the book of Jonah today, which is a book of prophecy with a twist. Jonah was a man in the 8th century BC who lived just north of Nazareth in the northern kingdom of Israel during the reign of Jeroboam II. And although he was a prophet, his mission wasn't to call Israel to repentance at all, nor was it to forecast the destruction of Israel's enemies. His mission is to go to the land of Nineveh, enemies of God, enemies of Israel, and call them to repentance. Of course, Jonah's not all that happy about this. His pride and fear have him on a ship sailing in the other direction in short order. The story of Jonah is famous. Jonah ends up in the belly of a whale. After 3 days of repentance, he spit on the shore alive. There are obvious foreshadowings of Christ in this story. Jesus said as much. There are also obvious parallels to our own lives when we allow fear and pride to lead us into disobedience. We find ourselves on the run. But running from God is an impossibility. God loves us enough to never stop pursuing us. And although Jonah found himself in the belly of a whale, that whale became his salvation. He would have surely drowned in the open sea. And although the journey must have been quite uncomfortable, God used the whale to deliver him alive and well on the shore. We may find our journey similar. It is important to consider the fact that maybe God is not punishing us. Maybe God is rescuing and saving us. Chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, 11. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. But all this time, Jonah was sound asleep down in the hold. So the captain went down after him. "How can you sleep at a time like this?" he shouted. "Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives." Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused the terrible storm. When they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. "Why has this awful storm come down on us?" they demanded. "Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality?" Jonah answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." The sailors were terrified when they heard this, for he had already told them he was running away from the Lord. "Oh, why did you do it?" they groaned. And since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked him, "What should we do to you to stop this storm?" "Throw me into the sea," Jonah said, "and it will become calm again. I know that this terrible storm is all my fault." Instead, the sailors rowed even harder to get the ship to land. But the stormy sea was too violent for them, and they couldn't make it. Then they cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God. "Oh, Lord," they pleaded, "don't make us die for this man's sin." and don't hold us responsible for his death. O Lord, you have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons. Then the sailors picked Jonah up and threw him into the raging sea, and the storm stopped at once. The sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power, and they offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. He said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. You threw me into the ocean depths, and I sank down to the heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Then I said, O Lord, you have driven me from your presence. Yet I will look once more toward your holy temple. I sank beneath the waves, and the waters closed over me. Seaweed wrapped itself around my head. I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. I was imprisoned in the earth, whose gates lock shut forever. But you, O Lord, my God, snatched me from the jaws of death. As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies. But I will offer sacrifices to you with the songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone. Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. This time, Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. The people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. When the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne and took off his royal robes. He dressed himself in burlap and sat on a heap of ashes. Then the king and his nobles sent this decree throughout the city. No one, not even the animals from your herds and flocks, may eat or drink anything at all. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must turn from their evil ways and stop all their violence. Who can tell? Perhaps even yet, God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. When God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. This change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry, so he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Just kill me now. Lord, I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen. The Lord replied, Is it right for you to be angry about this? Then Jonah went out to the east side of the city and made a shelter to sit under as he waited to see what would happen to the city. And the Lord God arranged for a leafy plant to grow there, and soon it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun. This eased his discomfort, and Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But God also arranged for a worm. The next morning at dawn, the worm ate through the stem of the plant so that it withered away. And as the sun grew hot, God arranged for a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. The sun beat down on his head until he grew faint and wished to die. Death is certainly better than living like this, he exclaimed. And God said to Jonah, Is it right for you to be angry because the plant died? Yes, Jonah retorted. Even angry enough to die. Then the Lord said, you feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? Revelation 5, 1 through 14. Then I saw a scroll in the right hand of the one who was sitting on the throne. There was writing on the inside and the outside of the scroll, and it was sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel who shouted with a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals on this scroll and open it? But no one in heaven or earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and read it. And I began to weep bitterly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and read it. But one of the 24 elders said to me, stop weeping. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals. Then I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered, but it was now standing between the throne and the four living beings, and among the 24 elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which represent the sevenfold spirit of God that is sent out into every part of the earth. He stepped forward and took the scroll from the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. And when he took the scroll, the four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they held gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song with these words, you are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it. For you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth. Then I looked again, and I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne, and of the living beings and the elders, and they sang in a mighty chorus, worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea. They sang, blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And the four living beings said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped the Lamb. Psalm 133, 1 through 3. A song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem. A psalm of David. How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head and ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting. Proverbs 29, 26 and 27. Many seek the ruler's favor, but justice comes from the Lord. The righteous despise the unjust. The wicked despise the godly. So Jonah's fascinating. It's a fascinating story. It's epic. I mean, the guy gets swallowed by a whale, right? And he's living inside the whale's stomach. Gets spit up on the shore. The storm, the running from God, all this. And you would think, and it's just so easy to apply, but you would think that a guy who's been thrown overboard to drown because he's running from God, who then gets swallowed by a whale, who then, after 3 days, gets spit up alive on a shore, that he would get the message that he better obey God's instruction, right? And he does get that message. But you'd also get the idea that he might be a bit grateful for his life, that he might, like, I'm thinking to myself, if that happened to me, I may have a new lease on life, right? It may kind of distill things down to what's core in my value system, and a lot of the chaff might burn away, and what I value most, and that being my precious relationship with God, might, I don't know, it would change some things, right? So he goes to Nineveh. He does the prophecy. Nineveh repents. And all he is ticked. He's just mad because they're his enemy. They're the enemies of Israel. And he wants God to rain fire down and destroy them, even after being swallowed by the whale. So he goes out of the city and sits down and throws a tantrum. Death is better than living like this, he exclaims, when the hot wind and the burning sun shines down on him. God's like, look, is it right, really? I mean, seriously, dude, is it right for you to be angry because this plant died? Yes, I'm angry enough to die. So Jonah looks a bit like an underdeveloped adolescent or pre-adolescent, maybe even a two-year-old. He's pitching a tantrum, not seeing reality at all. His life has been spared in an unbelievably dramatic fashion. And then here he is sitting outside the city, sulking, griping, complaining, saying these incredibly dramatic things. And I think, yeah, I've done that. Yeah, I see that happening. I see that happen. And it's a pathetic thing. And we can look at our culture and go, well, we have everything handed to us on a silver platter, and we have not learned to contend for things. But as we look back over the millennia, we see that the heart of man is very similar. And this is what we're dealing with. I think we absolutely must take several steps beyond ourselves. We live life so self-focused, so self-absorbed, that however things are affecting us is all that there is, when there is so much more. God says, you feel sorry about this plant? You didn't even put the plant there. It came quickly and died quickly, but you want to die over it? And what's the real heart of the matter? The heart of the matter is that I won't come down and destroy Nineveh. But Nineveh has 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? Don't I have that prerogative? I am God. So we look at things from the perspective of how it affects us and us alone, as if we are the only one that matters, or those that are near to us and dear to us. That's all there is. And that's bogus. There is a sovereign God, and it is our responsibility to obey him. But I believe, as I've been talking about, shift in the new year that when we change our paradigm and we begin to look at things through the eyes of what God is seeing, what God is doing, where He is leading, what His Holy Spirit is saying, what His Word is saying, and we discipline ourselves to the point that we have begun to seek first the kingdom of God. First, not second, not in crisis, not when things are falling apart, but when we begin to seek first the kingdom of God before anything else, before we say a word out of our mouths that is likely to be misunderstood, that we seek first the kingdom of God and what He is saying and what He would have us say. Before we do anything, we seek first the kingdom of God. Invite Jesus to speak into everything about us. Oh, there's going to be a shift, all right. And it's going to be dramatic. And I look forward to pressing into that more. Jonah is a perfect story of the way that God can show up in such dramatic fashion for us to rescue our very lives, only for us to obey Him grudgingly and then just be ticked because He's not doing it the way we want Him to. We have got to get over ourselves and fast if we want our lives to have any reverberations, any deep meaning, anything that lasts beyond our last breath. So may we contemplate a profound shift as we go through the Word of God in the coming year. Father, we long for that deeply. We've just been told that it's about us. Everything about this world tries to convince us that it's about us. And so even when we say it's about You, we're saying it in terms of how much it's about us. What You're going to do for us, how You're going to come through for us, how You're going to show up for us. We want the shift. We want to show up for You. We want to be there for You. We want to come through for You. We want to press in to You. We want to know You. We deeply desire a true and complete shift in our lives so that we are seeking first Your kingdom. Help us, Jesus. We need You. We need You badly. Come, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Amen. www.dailyaudiobible.com. That's the website. You kind of know all the stuff that I might say. I should just pause and let you repeat it all. You've got all my words memorized by now, I'm sure. Home base, dailyaudiobible.com. And there's the store, of course, all the stuff that's at the store that we've been talking about, like the passages book and the gift basket and the coffee. It's all there at the store. We're good until the 20th for shipping out for Christmas, so you can place your orders. It's my understanding that the passages book can now be ordered. The book itself can be ordered directly through Amazon.com, as well as the Kindle version through Amazon.com and the Nook version through BarnesandNoble.com. I think we're still waiting for the official release of the iBook, but I'll let you know when that happens. The passages book, much to my shock, remains number one. I'm not sure what to say about that. I wasn't expecting it to show up on any bestseller list whatsoever. That was my expectation, was that it would be a resource that we would use here. I had no idea. And for it to show up in the top 20 of all audiobooks has been a pleasant surprise. So, praise God. Continue to pray over that, because I do believe that it is a resource that if you take the journey through that book, you're going to come out the other side with a profound affection for God's Word. That's what it was written for. was to just sort of demystify this separation that we keep between ourselves and God's word, because we don't think we can understand it, or we don't think it's approachable, or we don't know what to do with it. So we have five Bibles in our house that we never crack open. It was written to say, no, wait a minute, this is the word of God. He can speak to you what you need. Don't ever say that you're lost and God's not talking to you when you're not listening to his word. He talks to us through his word. He talked to us today through his word. He'll talk to us every day through his word. And just to kind of demystify that, make the scriptures something to embrace as a counselor, as a cheerleader, as a best friend, rather than some kind of ancient customs wrapped in religious theory that we'll never be able to live up to. Which, if we're being honest, when we go to church and some things get unpacked and we get seriously supercharged from it, but then we starve ourselves the rest of the week. We have this one meal a day or one meal a week thing. And the Bible is not that. It's our spiritual food, and passages was written to explain that. So, man, as many people as possible, and that sounds self-serving, but I'm not getting anything. I mean, we're using the resources that come from passages to support the Daily Audio Bible. So, I believe in that book because I believe in the Bible and its profound ability to change everything. So thank you for your prayers over it and your support of it. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible and support the Daily Audio Bible as we near the end of the year, the website's a place to go. There's a link on the homepage. The mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And if you have a prayer request or comment, 877-942-4253 is the number. I love you. I'm Brian. I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi there. This is Teresa from... fellow listener on the forum. I have a prayer request about having my children here. I have one that's a single mom, and she's expecting a second baby, and we're trying to help her out as much as we can, but just need a lot of strength because we're having to leave her home and move in with her, and that's hard. It's hard on my marriage. It's hard on everything. So I just want my fellow brothers and sisters to help out here and lift us up in prayer, and I know God answers prayers, so we thank you for listening, and thank you for everything that you do, Brian. It's awesome. I've been listening for about 4 years now, and it's great. So I just want to bless you all. Thank you. Bye.
Hi, DAB. It's Mike calling from Toronto, Canada. I'm actually calling today because I'm not the type of person to, reach out, ask for help, anything like that. And, you know, I've been listening to DAB for about a month now. I was introduced to it by my awesome girlfriend that actually lives out in the States in Oklahoma. And basically, I'm just calling to say that I think this community is awesome. And I'm really glad that Brian was able to reach out and come up with something like this, because I've been having a hard time with my faith. I've struggled many times, and I mean, even now I'm having a hard time talking because Satan's there trying to hold me back. But anyway, I just wanted to make a prayer request. I've been an angry person for a very long time. I've used, rage as my motivation to try and get through things, and I've realized that all it does is drag me down. It's the type of thing that I crave, and I really don't want it anymore. I mean, it can get in the way of my relationships. I've managed to push a lot of people out of my life because I have been afraid of confrontation, of dealing with things like a man. Instead, I get angry and push people away, and I don't want that anymore. So I ask for help with that. even as I say this, I have Satan in my mind telling me that I'm being selfish, asking for help. But I know that's not true. The other prayer request that I have, my father got divorced from my mother probably about 10 years ago, maybe more. It's been a long time. And he hasn't been able to let things go. He hasn't been able to move on. I believe that Satan's as strong as him as he has been in me and is trying to continue to be. And I just pray and ask for prayers to help him in moving on and having a better life and being happy. Anyway, I just wanted to say thank you for the community, and I'll continue to fight the good fight and win. Thanks a lot. Take care. Bye.
Hello, DAB family. My name is Luda, and I'm calling for a prayer request for my mom. She's in a country called Moldova, a former Soviet Union republic now ruled by the mob, filled with corruption, a country with no fair justice. My mom's name is Nina. She worked as a chief accountant in an air traffic control state firm, and her boss would do money laundering with the money that belongs to the government. It was her job to sign papers and be involved in this sin. But she finally decided not to take that responsibility anymore, which didn't please her boss, so he fired her and fabricated a case against her to bring her to court because he felt threatened by her. He said he would keep her in court until she is drained out of money, without a job and a place to live. This is going on for more than 10 years. The judges would be paid off, and my mom would be filing appeals. Our family is not the most faithful growing up in the atheist Soviet Union, but I want to change that. I'm reading the Bible for the first time, and I try to talk mom out of cursing her boss and to find forgiveness and pray to God and Jesus Christ. I found hope to end this cycle of tribulation, and I'm asking you to pray with me for Nina, that she may have a fair justice and finally be released from this burden and have faith in the Lord. Thank you. Her next trial is on 6 December. God bless and thank you, my family.
Hi, I am calling for my brother and for his 2 sons. It has been 10 years since he has seen them. There was a horrible, horrible divorce. The boys were being used, and it was not a good situation, and my brother did everything he could to protect them in that situation. And as a result of that, he has not seen them or talked to them. His oldest son's birthday is tomorrow, and he is sending an email to him hoping to reestablish contact with them. And I'm just praying for God's hand to be on that time. And he's missed them so much. Every birthday, every holiday, every Christmas, you race to a certain degree knowing the pain that will be there. And yet, it is a happy time being with the rest of the family. It's very surreal sometimes. We've all missed him so much. And I'm just praying that he will be reunited with his son. Thank you.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Joe calling from Orlando. I just wanted to call and share hope with everybody. I know sometimes we got caught up in what we're trying to go through, and sometimes we think that we may not make it, but somehow we always do. And maybe I'm saying this for my life too, and I'm struggling too, but there's this one line in a prayer that I always say frequently, and it says that you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So I just hope that everybody just hangs in there, puts their faith and trust God and ask Him to help, and then allows Him to help instead of us trying to figure everything out. He knows what He's doing, and He has a great plan for your life. So I just hope everybody is doing well. I love you all. Thank you for your prayers. and you're in mine. Bye.